This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Weekend Review here on the WWE Podcast, the unofficial, of course. It is Sunday, April 14th, 2024, as we put a bow on the WrestleMania event, and we look ahead to really the next event, which is Backlash. And that comes to us on May 4th. For those Star Wars fans, although I've never seen the movie, I understand the pun of May the 4th, right? So that's the event. That's the day that we have the next PLE, aptly named Backlash. And we are already starting to see the card take shape a little bit. We don't know Cody's opponent officially, although it is a foregone conclusion of who we think that's going to be. And on the world title side, obviously we know who is going to be facing Damian Priest come Backlash. And then, you know, obviously we have other matches coming along the way. I believe there's a number one contenders match for the tag titles this coming Monday. So we'll see a little bit more development there, as well as an Intercontinental Championship match between Sami Zayn and Chad Gable that could end in a no contest. That's my prediction, as Gunther, I think, will cause a no contest, which will cause a triple threat match to happen at Backlash. So I think we have a lot of fun wrestling coming as we come down from WrestleMania 40. Look ahead, yes, all the way as far as WrestleMania 41. You know, we already kind of have an idea of who Cody could face or is likely to face. And Roman Reigns takes a hiatus, but we think we may know who he may face. You know, we look ahead to potential returns, potential big returns like Brock Lesnar, which is probably coming our way in the next few months, as that leads into a massive SummerSlam match, which could lead into a WrestleMania match, as a lot of those programs do. So there's a lot to look forward to, even though WrestleMania has come and gone and we're all now in our kind of depressed, oh my God, I can't believe it's over, that sucks mode. The train keeps moving and the next show is happening twice a week, right? We have two shows a week to look forward to if you're into just the main product, the main roster of Raw and SmackDown. Of course, you have NXT to fill the middle of your week if you'd like that. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of good stuff, a lot of really good wrestling, and you know, not a whole lot to complain about, although if you've listened to me before, don't worry, I won't disappoint. I will find something, right? That's what I do. But before we keep going and dive into any complaints I might have, which is a rarity, I know, we have to take a moment to thank the new patrons, and one of them is Chloe Mitchell. Chloe, I appreciate your patronage and your support. I hope you enjoy everything ad-free. We just dropped a little bit late this week, but that's okay. The After Dark Show, where Anthony DeMarco goes into a little bit of a preview of the draft. There's another big item, right? Coming up at the end of the month. That'll shake things up, as Vince infamously has said in the past. And it is time to shake things up, and it's going to happen in a big way just before the Backlash event. So that is obviously another massive deal coming up. So there's really no rest for the weary here. But Chloe, I want to say thank you. We also have some new people who have joined us on the free side of things, which is okay. Emily, thank you. Ismail, thank you for joining us as well. And I hope I didn't miss anybody. I don't think I did. So last few days, Ismail, Emily, and Chloe, thank you, all of you, for joining us. And, you know, even if you didn't become a paid subscriber, if you joined us for free and want to check us out for free, it's cool too. You can do that and join Emily and others on the free side of things for a week at patreon.com/WWE podcast, which is also available at our website and on Apple if you want to just download us there too. So let's dive into it, as we saw SmackDown, and you heard the full review. If you haven't already, go check it out with Michael Ritter, who did a great job covering SmackDown this week, as he does every single week. And, you know, we get Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes comes out, and you know, it's going to be nice to see what show he lands on. For now, they're just giving him a pass to do whatever he wants, and because he's champion and he's essentially the new face of the company. He's been the face of the company, but now he gets an official title to crown him as such. No Roman Reigns there this week, but we did get a big evolution in the Bloodline story that is ever ongoing. And Cody Rhodes did come out, and the crowd seems to love it in Detroit, but we at least were notified that wrestling does have more than one royal family. I keep thinking there's just one, but apparently there's more than one, according to Cody Rhodes. So we'll have to find out who those families are. But anyway, the crowd responds very positively to Cody Rhodes. I thought I heard some boos in there, but I think that's just my brain wanting it to happen. But it could be something small that grows into something larger. But I think generally the crowd has been behind Cody Rhodes, not unanimously, but as close to unanimously as you can get anyone in a group setting to agree on anything nowadays. It is a pretty successful run. For 2 years now, the fans have been nearly unwavering, which is quite impressive. And, you know, he comes out on Friday night, and he said he would be waiting for The Rock when he returns, and that he's gone back to Hollywood, and that, again, he'd be waiting for him, and he would soon head to France for Backlash, and that he would face one of six competitors that were in two triple threats that night, and that was either Santos, Rey Mysterio, LA Knight, AJ Styles, Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens. And he acknowledged AJ Styles as one of the few, to hold both the WWE and NWA championships. Cool note there. Cody then acknowledged the sellout and turned to look at the entire crowd. Yeah, apparently he's gone on this apology tour because he not only apologized for turning to the crowd behind him. Again, I don't know why he's apologizing. No one at home. I don't care who this is. I know this is, you guys think, oh, here he goes on the Cody rant, and you're probably right. But on this specific point, I don't care who you are. If you turn your back to me on the camera, I don't know who's telling talent not to do this. I don't care. I understand there are hundreds of fans behind you. It's weird that you ignore them, actually. Right? It's not just Cody. It's everybody that is just, it's drilled in their head. This is the hard cam. This is where people can see you. This is how millions of other people see you. Everything you do, everything you hold up, everything you point to, everything, has to be the hard cam. And I understand why, but the crowd behind them while you're on TV also get the benefit of seeing everyone's backside when they're cutting promos because they have to speak to the millions of people and not just think about the arena they're in. I understand the logic, but also, I would like once in a while for the wrestlers to, during promos, acknowledge that they have hundreds of people behind them and not be so concerned that, oh my gosh, for a few moments, I turned my back to people at home. I don't know about you guys. I don't care about that particularly. I don't know if you do. If you get home, like, I'm offended. Did he just turn his back on us? No. No one cares. It would just, to me, it'd be more normalized if they did it every once in a while. Now, I'm not saying the whole promo, that would be weird. But if they just turn and talk to the people out, why can't there be a camera, by the way, on the opposite side? I don't care if the hard cam is seeing the other camera guy. We all know it's televised. I don't know. I maybe I'm thinking too much into this, but I think it's actually a good thing to talk to the people behind you. But I also don't want, for Cody Rhodes, and here it comes, for him, it's like a special thing. If you, if you'll indulge me, as he likes to say, or I have to apologize. He apologized for a few things last night or Friday night. One of them was turning his back to us, which I just talked about, which is silly. And it's not Cody's fault. It's just a silly thing that, why can't they do that just in passing for a few moments? But he made it a big deal that it's a respectful thing and he's doing something out of the ordinary. Right, because he's this common, well-liked guy. But then he did say that at the beginning of his promo, who quoted his wife, if you didn't know that, he was actually quoting his wife when he recalled being interrupted by The Rock on Monday, and Cody was then, he quoted his wife saying, "Who told you it was open mic night?" Which, with a B. And it just, I don't know why he felt the need to do that, but then he said, "I apologize for the profanity." Why? What do you apologize? again, this is just a part and parcel for the soft, just emotionally fragile, just cuddly Cody Rhodes. I'm serious when I ask this, guys. When is the last time anyone, champion or otherwise, apologized to the crowd for using profanity? I'm being honest. That's a serious question. And now we have our edgy, at least that's what they'd like to make us believe, Cody Rhodes coming out there and apologizing. He apologizes for using profanity as if we haven't heard it the last several months and words a lot worse. You think The Rock's going to apologize? What do we need, you know, Softy over there to apologize for? Are we, am I, you know, maybe to the children, but if you're worried, by the way, if you're worried about your children hearing profanity, that they won't be able to handle it, you don't want to have to explain it to them or having them use it, then don't bring your kids to a wrestling event. I mean, it's become a little edgier. And you know, hey, it's just a fact, right? You can't control what they say, but for Cody Rhodes to apologize for that, then apologize for turning his back. Who is this? And I just don't understand how people are supporting this. Oh, he's emotional. It's a reflection on you. No. You know, actually, the most successful champions in history have not pandered to the crowd to this level. This makes John Cena look like Stone Cold Steve Austin in comparison. Remember we had the whole chain gang? Everyone was the chain gang. I hated that with a passion. But I would take that leaps and bounds over what we have now. I mean, again, he makes John Cena look edgy compared to what we've got now. Mr. Suit and Tie buttoned up, apologizing for profanity, apologizing for the crowd, to turning their back for just like 2 seconds on the televised crowd. Oh, it's Mr. Smile all the time. Okay, I'll stop there. You guys knew a Cody rant was coming, but he's on my screen every week, and it's getting worse. I thought we were going to get maybe a more edgy Cody Rhodes, but it's getting worse for me and those people that aren't a big fan of Cody Rhodes. If you do like Cody Rhodes, you are just sick to death of me complaining about him. But hey, guess what? This is my show. If you don't like it, there are many other shows. And hey, you can go and listen to ones that don't have as strong of opinions or are too afraid to vent their opinions for, oh, I might lose some listeners if they get angry with me. I don't care. Like, this is my show, right? Because I don't have a lot of people that don't like when I go on these rants. But hey, I cannot be any clearer when I say this. Too bad. Too bad. That's all I have to say, right? And if you want to engage in debate, I'm all for it. But there, I've said my Cody rant, at least maybe the one for the next 10 minutes anyway. But he told the 6 competitors, if you come at the king, you best not miss. He then introduced himself to the SmackDown crowd. Again, he said he was once undesirable and he became undeniable. And then he called himself the undisputed WWE champion. Now, the good thing about this part was not the undesirable to undeniable, or yeah, that's what it is, was that we actually may have landed on a name for the championship that he won. It may have just now been simplified to the undisputed WWE champion. Perfect. Great. Let's stop there, right? No more. I don't need the word universal in it. I don't need the word heavyweight in it. Just the undisputed WWE championship. Simple. Great. I hope that sticks. I don't have like The Rock coming back and calling it the universal, right? Okay. We then get the Bloodline walking up to what have been their former office to find Cody Rhodes knocking on their log on the door. And then KO walked into the room and said they weren't invited. And Solo said he would handle Owens and the situation. And Heyman said that wins and losses matter and that he called the champion's locker room. That's called the champion's locker room. And they have to bring the title home to the Bloodline by orders of the tribal chief. But then LA Knight comes out and he said he'll face Bobby Lashley and Santos Escobar next. And in this triple threat, it was a number one contender qualifier. It ends with LA Knight beating Bobby Lashley and Santos in 9 minutes and 27 seconds. And then after the match, the LWO was interviewed backstage, and we'll get to that. But LA Knight winning is the right move, right now, I think they're looking at LA Knight as a potential number two in the company. Potential. Now, I would like a little more character development on LA Knight's side, where he has been just kind of a, again, talented, but I think in the ring, he has improved even since the crowd got behind him. But we don't know a whole lot about him, and it's kind of hard to get to know him more if they don't give him the mic. I know he's got cute catchphrases. He does feel like an Attitude Era throwback. It's not a diss on him at all. But I want to know more about him. Why should I care if he wins or loses? Outside of the fact that, he's ultra-talented on the mic, the LA Knight yeah stuff. He's got the catchphrases. He's got all the glitz and glamour. But now we need substance, right? Because all that artificial stuff is fun, but it doesn't last too long. So we need to dive into who and what LA Knight is so we can get behind his character and actually care on an emotional level if he wins or loses beyond, oh, he's kind of a cool guy. I like saying his catchphrase, so I'll cheer him. No, we need more solid ground to stand on. And I think that's where they could improve with LA Knight, but I think that's where they look at him. I mean, he wins this match. He's going to the number one contenders match next week to face, as we'll find out later, AJ Styles. But do I think he's going to win that match? Probably not. Probably not. You're not going to have a babyface versus babyface championship match at Backlash. AJ Styles, I think, is much more suited to face Cody Rhodes. It's a heel babyface dynamic, and AJ Styles can work with anybody, and we haven't really seen these two lock horns. So that'll be a fun matchup. But I think they look at LA Knight as a guy that is one to watch, especially after the draft. I think he's going to be like in the top three draft picks to Monday Night Raw, if not the number one. It could be, but he'll probably be number two because he's going to draft the champions first. All right. Where are we going here? Well, actually, no, you get like three picks in a round, right? So if Raw gets three picks, he'll be in the three picks. Not the overall, but he'll be in the first round. All right, but after the match, as I said, the LWO was interviewed backstage. Ray was asked about Santos coming up short in his match, and he says, karma always comes back around. Kayla then said Escobar denied the charges of attacking Dragon Lee, and Carlito was quick to point out that he was lying. Ray said he's accomplished a lot in the last few years, but was ready for another run as champion. All right, so it's kind of cool. As much as, we look at Ray as a legacy star, and he's a star that just somehow doesn't age. I don't know what he's drinking or eating, but outside of the gray hairs on his beard, he just does not age in the ring. It's still cool to hear Rey Mysterio talking about winning the WWE Championship. That was just kind of like a throwback. It was like, oh, maybe, right? Not impossible. It's just fun to hear Rey talk about something other than the LWO or other than somebody who just turned on him for the 400th time or about his son, right? It's nice to hear Rey actually chasing a championship and the top one at that. So That really resonated with me. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Now, he's not going to win, most likely, but with him saying he feels like he has another run, it's believable. It's believable. Okay. Then we get Paul Heyman revealing that Roman Reigns has ordered the Bloodline to accept accountability for what happened at WrestleMania, and that at WrestleMania 40, Cody flipped the script. And let's see here. He then said Roman would rise from the ashes like a phoenix, but Solo stopped him, and Solo said winning and losing has consequences and offered his brother a hug, Jimmy. Jimmy then was jumped from behind by Tama Tonga. Yes, Tama Tonga. Solo then landed a series. I don't think I've ever said that name on the show. There's a first. Solo then landed a series of Samoan spikes to Jimmy, and Heyman went to grab his phone to call Roman, but Solo threw it on the ground and stomped on it. Solo ordered Tama to grab a chair, then placed it over Jimmy's head and slammed into the chair on his neck in the corner. And it's just clear that we are in a different era or chapter. I don't want to use era. Era is an overused word right now. Chapter, maybe, of the Bloodline story. We have officially entered whatever chapter they're about to show us. Now, what does this mean? Long term, again, it's just page one of the new chapter. My guess is that this is Solo taking over as the reigns, taking over without Roman's consent, taking over as kind of the tribal chief, acting tribal chief, while Roman's absent, takes out Jimmy. Tama Tonga and Solo are, you know, essentially locked at the hip. At some point, after Solo has run roughshod and just not listened to orders and doing his own thing, and you're going to have Roman Reigns return. And when the boss returns and Jimmy's with him, I think you're going to have a babyface Roman Reigns. I think that's likely where they're headed, because for maybe a couple of months, you're going to have Solo. And now they may not wait a couple months, but this is how I would do it. Solo and Tama Tonga are just going to destroy everything in sight. Maybe add another person there, have his own little faction without the consent of Roman. Paul Heyman doesn't know what to do. He's constantly telling Solo that this is not what the tribal chief ordered. Running roughshod. And then at a PLE or even a SmackDown, you have the boss come back. And Roman Reigns, at that point, if they're taking out a big babyface, they say they're taking out like Randy Orton or something, and Roman Reigns comes back and just demolishes Solo Sikoa or whatever. I mean, I don't know if they'd rush into it like that, because they are very, very slow and methodical in their storytelling with the Bloodline story, as we've known since, my God, 4 years ago. But it's a possibility that they're setting up for a Roman and Jimmy and Jay reuniting of sorts against Solo, Tama Tonga, and Wrestler X. I'm not sure who that would be yet. So it's possible. It's very possible. We'll have to see if they want to go the babyface road with Roman yet. I don't know. Do they dare try Roman Rock as a babyface? I don't know. Of course, that's a long ways away, so we're not anywhere near that yet, but it's coming. Anyway, that's just my initial thoughts of how and why they would do what they did here. So, all right. So let's go on here. Here's the other thing for Jimmy. Best thing ever for Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy became more relevant in a beatdown than he has in 6 months, rejoining the Bloodline with no explanation, right? Like, Jimmy has become more relevant and interesting because now he's essentially a babyface. He's gotten turned on by his brother, neck snapped, essentially, and you're looking for him to get revenge. So I think this is the most interesting Jimmy's character has been, and hilarious that it's because of him getting his ass kicked that he's more interesting now. All right. We get Bron Breakker with new music. AJ Styles has new music too, though. I think they debuted AJ Styles' new music at WrestleMania, if I'm not mistaken. I like it. Bron Breakker has new music. I like it. Versus Cameron Grimes. Squash. Bron Breakker defeats Cameron Grimes in a minute and a half. And it was after a spear. Spear is a very common finish now. And I like Bron Breakker here. I mean, not much to say. Dominant victory. Just putting him on the map, getting him in front of our eyeballs, getting us familiar with who and what he is, his moveset. And that's what this is about, and that's fine. That's all this was. Not much more to say about it. Again, more highlights of WrestleMania 40. I hope we don't have to live through them too much longer. But let's see here. We've got Bayley coming out. Boy, was it good to see her. Throwback to her old Bayley character, if you didn't notice, with the tassels hanging down, if that's what you call them, on her arms with a jacket. And her hair was put to the side, not in a ponytail, but in a more, I guess, evolved way. So she did have those subtle or not so subtle, maybe depending on how you view it, throwback to her old character with the Bayley buddies and the hugging and all that kind of thing. But I'd say a more mature version of herself, which is the right call. And the crowd was really behind her. And she's been kind of the unsung hero or the unsung champion that I don't think is getting the attention she deserves. And it was nice to see her out there. The You Deserve It chance. She said she enjoyed that because she hasn't heard it in a while. It's very true. She's been a background character in her own group for a long time. And she said she's proud to be a champion of a new era. In the most talented locker room she's ever been a part of. I think that's true. She then thanked the fans for not giving up on her, sticking with her, and then talked about giving up new opportunities. Tiffany Stratton comes out and said she was a bit insulted she wasn't offered a chance at WrestleMania, but as the center of the universe, she was happy to accept Bayley's offer. Bayley then said she didn't have her in mind, but was happy to meet her. She told Tiffany she wanted to face someone who returned at the Rumble, Naomi. And then Naomi comes out and says she's earned every opportunity she's ever gotten, and Tiffany might have beaten her before, but she would take her on right here, right now, because she's earned everything she's gotten. I mean, that I don't understand that. You know, okay, you've earned everything you've gotten, so that means that you'll take her on right here, right now. I don't know. The two don't mix. It was a weird, like, half of a promo here, half of a promo here. But Naomi's never been really known for her cohesive, long A-plus promos that draw you in and make you want to see the match. Like, Naomi has never been known for that. Sorry, Naomi. I mean, you just haven't. But entrance is fun. She's good in the ring. She does have a presence about her. So there is that. Just her promos have always been kind of clunky, you know, a little clunky here and there. But fine. You know, she's very good in the ring, and I have no issues with her returning. I'm glad that they're actually giving her more opportunity now, and I was hoping for this, because after she returned at the Rumble, they essentially had no plan for her up until Jade Cargill joined the fray, and they decided, hey, Jade's not ready for a one-on-one. We need some opponents. We need some teammates. And Naomi and Bianca were perfect teammates. All right, so Bayley told her that she would accept her challenge after she took care of Tiffany. Or she told Bayley that. Naomi did. So we get Naomi and Tiffany Stratton. And this match ended with Naomi beating Tiffany Stratton. And it was kind of weird that Tiffy didn't get the victory here. But Naomi is slated to face Bayley for the women's title. So I understood in the moment now why you had Naomi win, because if she's going to be facing a champion, you don't want her to be beaten by somebody that's not facing the champion for a couple reasons. Number one, you don't want somebody who's facing, who's going to be facing the champion for the title get beat by somebody who's not, because then don't they have a claim to face that champion if you beat the person that you're going to face, right? And it also doesn't put the belt in jeopardy. If that person's looking at, you know, on a downside, you're like, eh, well, you know, momentum's not on their side right now. There's a lot of reasons why. So in the moment, it's fine. Tiffany Stratton will be just fine. So, all right. We then have a video package featuring A-Town Down Under and their accomplishments. They said, I think, did Austin Theory say they're the only undefeated, undisputed tag team champions what did they say? There was some kind of phrasing Austin Theory used. Oh my God, I almost said Austin Powers. What the hell's wrong with me? What? I don't know where that came from. I saw the movie like a couple months ago, so I have no idea where Austin Powers came from. Good God. I got to stop doing these so late at night. But Austin Theory said something to the effect that they're the only undefeated tag team right now in history. I forget the phrasing, but they right here were repaired slightly from all the damage that has been done to them over the last several months. And for really since last year's WrestleMania, when Austin Theory went off a cliff after beating John Cena. So it was a nice video package to kind of get them back in the fold here, get them back in your minds. Oh yeah, that's right. They won the tag team titles. The tag team titles are now split, and we're going to have new opponents next week identified for A-Town Down Under. And it could be the Street Profits, the New Catch Republic. And I think those are the only two, I think, but there might have been a match. I think there was a match announced. I thought it was more than that, but maybe it is just those two teams. Well, either way, next week we will know who is going to be facing A-Town Down Under for the tag titles. All right, we then get a bit of a bragging session here with Corey Graves and Wade Barrett about the sellout streak and the success of WrestleMania. You know, I have no issue. I'm sure some of you expect me to complain about them bragging about their sellouts. I think that's impressive. It's impressive. And actually, if you didn't hear, Triple H reportedly is going to be making sure that from a production standpoint every week on television, that the setup you saw in Philadelphia is one that we see going forward. What they're doing is creating more seats, more seating, because that setup, the massive Tron cuts out, I don't know the number of seats, it's probably several hundred seats. That's a lot of revenue over weeks and months and years. So if they're selling out, then clearly they could sell more, therefore free up a few hundred more seats, make a few, you know, a few more tens of thousands of dollars. It all adds up. Makes sense. So that apparently is going to be the setup moving forward. They're not going to do much with the Tron, from what I understand, and keep the kind of Philly setup. But again, there were, what, 17 televised shows in a row for sellouts. It's impressive. Again, not compared to Attitude Era days, but I don't, you know, it's a different era. In the last 20, 25 years, it's pretty dang impressive. All right. We then get a video from Logan Paul, who is taking a selfie video talking about being the new Legend Killer and taking credit for the social media views coming out of WrestleMania. Fine. Good. I mean, it's nice to see him, even if it is the, filling in for Roman's absentee champion quota. That's fine. I have no issue with Logan Paul at all. I think he is getting better by the day. He really is. And it was uncomfortable and weird at first. He has fit right in. He fits like a damn glove into this sport. It's so fun to see. All right. Piper Niven and Chelsea Green versus Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. Now, Jade ends up quickly putting away Chelsea Green here. I mean, she wasn't first in the match, but she eventually got in. And I mean, I don't know what to say about this. It's cool to see Jade. I don't like her hair that short. I think she looked much better without the short hair. Just personal preference, right? Preference. But they eventually have to do something here with Jade that's beyond three moves. I think she did three. I counted three. I could be wrong. I think she did three wrestling moves. One of them was not well done. It was a spine buster that looked a little sloppy. And look, I know she's new to the company. She probably had to unlearn a whole bunch of crap from AEW that is not the, quote, WWE way to do things. So they're still in that process of kind of cultivating her to what they need her to be, the in-ring style, it makes sense because you want everyone to be safe, and the safety, the way that they work needs to match what everyone else does, right? It's about safety, number one. But I also don't want everyone looking the same. So that's a kind of a drawback, but it comes down to the fact that I just don't think they trust Jade Cargill yet for anything more than like 2 minutes. They just don't trust her. That's what it comes down to. And I know there's a lot of you fans out there that love Jade, and hey, I like her look just as much as you do from a visual standpoint of not gawking at her. Although I'm sure she loves that attention, even though she says she doesn't, she does. It's more of that's an impressive specimen in the women's division. Maybe the single most impressive specimen from a physical standpoint in the entire company's history from a woman's perspective. I think even more so than China. But you can't live on that forever. And she's certainly not getting paid by the hour here. I mean, she's just three moves and that's it. So they need to be careful here. They really need to be careful. If they're trying, because it's a balancing act where you're trying to get her in-ring exposure in front of fans, you're also not trying to go too long that would expose her weaknesses. So how do you balance that? And they're trying to find that balance right now. And it's not easy. It's difficult. And they're finding it to be very difficult because they are not showcasing her more than drips and drabs here and there. Now, that could be strategic and they feel she's fully ready, but you can just see even from those three moves, she's not quite ready. It just doesn't feel like it yet. Now, I'm along for the long game. I'm cool with them. You know, if she wants to develop in front of our eyes, I don't, you know, that's totally good. I mean, she could have short matches, but the crowd eventually will turn on her because they're going to see those weaknesses and going to see that, yeah, this is another Jade match. Here comes three moves and it's over. They need to be careful. So maybe they wait. They have her go away for a little while again. Have her wait until they feel that she can have a 5 or 10 minute match. And right now, they clearly don't. But she looks like $1 million and we'll see how long the outward part of Jade Cargill can carry her. How long and how far can the physique carry her? We're going to find out, because in ring, it's been extremely limited. And that tells fans, you don't trust her and she ain't ready. So we'll see. All right. So again, I'm a Jade fan to see what she's able to do. I don't agree with all her postings, and just because it's so self-serving and beyond the whole rant I was on for weeks, and I still back myself. I mean, I'm not backtracking from what I said. I stand by it and double down on it. But beyond that, I mean, it's just not conducive to wrestling fans looking at you as a wrestler. It's wrestling fans conducive to looking at you as kind of like, oh, yeah, let's see what kind of body part we can, Jade's showing off today. But it just comes off very arrogant. And there's a difference between arrogance and confidence, and she is on the former. So, all right. We get an announcement. Bayley and Naomi is going to happen next week for the championship. And we have AJ Styles versus Rey versus KO in a number one contender qualifier. And this is the main event. It ends with AJ, as you knew, beating KO and Rey Mysterio in 9 minutes. And we did get a fun match here. Really good. This could have gone 20 minutes. But the stunner on the apron had to hurt. I mean, there's nothing soft about that. The ending here with the Swanton attempt on Styles, but AJ getting his knees up on Owens was a nice ending. LA Knight then came out to confront and went face-to-face with AJ Styles. And I think that we're going to have a really fun match next week that's going to headline the show for SmackDown. AJ Styles and LA Knight, number one contendership. Winner faces Cody Rhodes at Backlash. Again, I still believe it's AJ Styles. It can also be a triple threat. You know, you always got to look out for those triple threats. It could very easily be a triple threat. But I don't know if they want to test Cody versus LA Knight yet. Not that Cody Rhodes would get booed and LA Knight would get cheered outright. But it could, if they ever went that road, even in a triple threat, they could go that road and run the risk of the fans maybe just planting a seedling in their minds of another guy in their brains that they would want to see, or that an edgier guy like LA Knight is more appealing than this soft feminine version of a champion that we have right now. And I want to say something to you guys. Listen, there's nothing wrong with being emotional. There's nothing. I have no problem with it. But here's the thing. There's a time and a place for it. Being WWE champion in front of millions of fans on national television every week is not the time and place to do it. At least from the perspective of emotionally showing sadness as your emotion, right? That's the issue. I don't care who this is. It's a bad long-term strategy that I think is going to eventually come to light. And we have just a very soft, feminine champion. You know I'm right. And I know a lot of you go, oh, so what? Okay, cool. Then that's something for a lot of you, a feminine male champion appeals. Because he's softer and he's more, conducive to being liked, because he doesn't look like the rest of the champions. He seems very, very approachable. He seems like one of us. He seems like somebody you'd want to be friends with. And I'm sure a lot of that is consciously or unconsciously the reasons. For me, I watch wrestling and I want to see somebody who's a badass. They don't have to be cookie cutter from Stone Cold. No. But this formula is a risky one. It's paying off so far. But I am very much doubtful that if this continues, that they're going to have this version of Cody Rhodes be successful more than 6 to 12 months. Not that Cody Rhodes isn't already going to... I mean, he's already massively successful. He's main evented 2 WrestleManias. He's the guy right now. But I'm saying this version of Cody can't last forever. That's all. That's all I'm saying. So, well, we do have a little bit more on Monday Night Raw, and I'll just recap it very quickly. As we know, it was the Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania 40, a show that was infinitely better than the last two. And we got a whole bunch of Cody nonsense and Cody, you know, Cody crying. And The Rock comes out and says he has to go away, hands something to Cody Rhodes. Rocky sucks chance broke out. And that's actually the one thing that's really impressive. For all the dislike I have for the Cody character, it is impressive that somebody like The Rock can come back and get booed over somebody like Cody Rhodes, because they are diametrically opposed when it comes to versions of men that they are. One, badass, edgy, true, just kick you down the, you know, kick their teeth down your throat kind of guy, makes people bleed. And you have the other guy that's like, you know, brings his dog to work, puts a handkerchief around his dog, bleaches his hair, bleaches his teeth, talks about making sure we're happy. That's what he said he's here for. He said that on air. Cries on camera and manicures his nails and all these things, right? They couldn't be more diametrically opposed. Yet, the crowd still gravitates towards Cody. And I get it. It's a feel-good story, but it's impressive is all I'm saying. I'm giving Cody Rhodes his flowers too. He deserves them. Much as I want to throw his character, not himself as a person, his character, if it was possible to detach the character from the physical body, I would throw that character off of a 500-foot bridge. But that's me. Yeah, the character, not the person. Some of you are thinking I want to commit murder, right? No. All right. So The Rock said he's coming back, and when he does, he's going to face Cody, and then he holds the belt and says it feels right, and that's clearly something it's a foreshadowing too. Cody, when Rock comes back, they wouldn't foreshadow that with Cody not being champion. So whenever The Rock comes back, Cody will be champion. I don't see Cody not being champion for like over a year. WrestleMania 41 to me is the first time I'll look at it and say maybe. But all right, let's go. We then got Shinsuke Nakamura losing to Dragunov. We got Damian Priest being introduced by Balor, and there's a "You Deserve It" chance, surprisingly. And we got, let's see, The Miz and R-Truth interrupting, and it became a tag team match. And that ended with the John Cena, R-Truth, Miz combo beating Dominic Finn and JD McDonagh in just under 10 minutes. Again, seeing Cena is always a fun time, you know, because we know that these appearances are very limited now. We got Roxanne Perez defeating Indy Hartwell in 2 minutes and 45 seconds. We got Sami Zayn coming out, and he got a very positive response from the crowd. You deserve a chance. A lot of you deserve a chance. That's kind of been the trend over the last several days. But a lot of, a lot of title changes. So title changes do sometimes warrant you deserve a chance. All right. We then get, let's see here. Champion, Intercontinental Champion Sami Zayn and Chad Gable versus Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci. And Gable and Zayn beat them in 12 minutes. And then we get, let's see here, Jade Cargill versus Chelsea Green. And, hey, it was under a minute, 33 seconds. No problem. I mean, again, it's just a be careful, WWE. Be careful. You don't want the crowd to turn on Jade. You might want to not do these squash matches where she has, you know, under five moves. You thought the five moves of Doom were a thing? With John Cena, that may be double the amount of moves that Jade has per match right now. It's kind of, it's alarming. It's alarming. It's not, I'll say it's concerning, not alarming yet. It's something worth watching. Okay. McIntyre comes out. He's angry about the briefcase, calls CM Punk a jerk, and that the briefcase is a total joke. He's been screwed by it. And we get an eventual Drew versus Jay versus Bronson Reed and Ricochet for a shot at the world title. And the match lasted, what was it, just under 20 minutes? I think it was just under, yeah, 17 minutes. And Jey Uso won, but CM Punk held the leg of Drew McIntyre as he was about to deliver a Claymore, furthering the heat between Punk and Drew, which is just a lot of fun. I mean, this is now, as much as I actually want Drew to legitimately have a moment, no screwy finishes, no cash-ins, I still actually want that for him. Right now I'm willing to put that want aside for a Punk Drew build, which is being done very nicely right now. I mean, Punk and Drew continued to build the heat in a way that, even with Drew not getting his moment, is working very effectively and makes you want to see this match, even though the match is not going to happen for probably a couple months because Punk's not ready yet. So it's also a new approach to when people are injured, they're still showing up on TV. You just got to be careful, you know, one wrong slip, one wrong fall, one wrong bump, bam. I mean, you're setting them back, but they obviously know that. So a much better Raw. Was it a mind-blowing Raw? No. Did it have star power as you expect? Yes. Punk, McIntyre. We got, who else was it? John Cena, Triple H coming out. So it was riddled with star power. Now, notably, no Becky Lynch, no Seth. I think they are both on hiatus, as they should be. I really, really do hope that they are going to move on, at least from their current versions of their characters, and evolve. That's all. All right. Now, I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. We're going to move on to an email, and this is a patron, so I'm going to give this patron a shout-out here, Levi. Levi wrote in and said that he's a new patron, so thank you. And you want, I asked for bold predictions for this year, and you said, okay, you've got them. So this is where you say you thought best to lay it out in a timeline format. Okay, here we go. Survivor Series, Orton wins the world title. Royal Rumble, John Cena surprises and enters at number 30 with the old military haircut. Yes, please. Please, John, if you're going to have a bald spot, at least do the old shaved head. He doesn't even, I think he looks older with longer hair. The old military buzz cut was perfect for him. So I don't know. He's just, he's being himself. Hey, do what you want with your hair, bro. But, you know, a little bit of chia would really help you. Anybody who understands that reference, you are a millennial like myself or older. Okay. But John Cena wins the Royal Rumble at number 30. At 41, WrestleMania 41, John Cena beats Orton to become world heavyweight champion. And then at SummerSlam next year, Gunther beats Cena to become world title and begins a dominant run as champ. John Cena recently said about having one last run in 2025, and this gave him 8 final months and wins his 17th championship along the way. And losing to Gunther adds another new talent for Cena to put over in a huge way. In addition, Orton has spoken in the past about wanting to fight Cena one last time at WrestleMania for a championship. It all meets the criteria for everyone. Thoughts? Levi, I don't think this is impossible. You know, if John Cena is going to go on a run, it all depends on what are you sacrificing? See, that's the thing. What is WWE sacrificing for John Cena just to have that one last run? You need to be careful that you're not mortgaging the future, because John Cena is not the future. He is a big part of their past. He's a very successful part of their past. He will forever be regarded as one of the greatest of all time. Not the greatest, because Michael Cole likes to tell us that, because that's an extremely subjective thing, but definitely one of. But what are you putting aside for this to happen? Because 8 months is a long time. Having someone win the Royal Rumble next year is usually somebody you want to be looking to the future. It's somebody you're looking to put the company in their hands, right? Man or woman. And you're going to have John Cena win that. You're also going to have Orton win the world title, which means Orton is at Survivor Series going to hold it for him from Survivor Series till WrestleMania. And that's what, like, so you have November, December, January, February, March, April. That's like a 5-month minimum run. So, yes, I just counted it on my hands. But that is also a sacrifice. I mean, you're going to take two old-timers, and they are very capable, but old-timers that aren't the future, and you're going to make them champion, win the Royal Rumble, and then focus the program around them at WrestleMania. I'm not saying this can't happen. It just doesn't seem to fit with what the company, as a company, they're trying to do. Not the individual statements, not the statements about John Cena saying he wants to have one last run, or Orton saying he wants to have a match with John Cena at WrestleMania. Those are all true, and I believe them. But it's not about what they say or they want. They may have a little swing in the company, but ultimately, it's about what's best for the company. It just is. I hate to be a corporate stooge saying that, but it is. If you're running a company, you need to think about this. Is this best for our company moving forward, that you're also taking a WrestleMania world title spot away from a younger talent that could benefit from it? It's risky. It would get the nostalgia juices flowing. We all love a good nostalgia as millennials. I think we're addicted to it. But it also is sacrificing something and someone of a younger talent that could really use this spot. It won't kill the company. My God, no, I'm not being that dramatic. It just, you need to be wary of what you are sacrificing. At what cost is going to come? You know, what's the cost? And there's a cost to this. So that's all. But thanks, Levi. All right. So this is one last one. This is Bo. And Bo said that he's 13 years old and he's been listening off and on since he was four. Here are a couple of, well, not to the show, but to the WWE. or maybe me. I have been on the air, so to speak, for 10 years now. But he said, here are a couple of matches I would like to see next year at WrestleMania. Drew versus Punk for the world title. I think that's very possible. Rock Roman Last Standing. Love that. Knight and Seth Rollins. Ooh, but here's the key on that. I want Seth to be a heel. How about that? Bayley versus Tiffany for the women's title. Bianca versus Jade versus Rhea for the women's title on SmackDown side of things. Cody versus Gunther for the Universal. Ooh. And, you know, I got to get Randy in a match. So Randy versus Braun Breaker. Hey, I love this, Bo. You said, speaking of Orton, I would love to hear your favorite RKO of all time. Mine personally is the curb stomp counter versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 31. I never watched that live because I was really young, but still amazing. Love your show. Keep it up. Thanks, Bo. That was awesome. I remember that very vividly because it was in bright sun, like it was like bright sunshine, and it was felt very weird. I never want to see WrestleMania in the sun ever again because it just doesn't feel right with my soul. But I remember that very vividly, and it was a hell of a moment. Even Randy Orton got pumped up about it. You saw it. That was true emotion. And I'll give you mine. And it's one that never actually happened in real life. And you would just be like, what are you talking about? If you've ever gone on YouTube and you search Randy Orton RKOs, now you'll see a whole bunch of them, but there's ones that people have edited where Randy Orton is superimposed in on people who fall down, or, just find funny ways to take spills on sidewalks or in pools or at school. Randy Orton is superimposed to giving them an RKO. It's hilarious. And then it's well done. I mean, those are my favorite RKOs. Ones that don't even exist. Now, if you want to ask me for real, what are my favorite real life ones? I remember Evan Bourne taking a hell of an RKO. The one I know you're talking about with Seth Rollins was incredible. AJ Styles has taken some really, really good ones over their program. There's a lot. You know, I mean, you want a compilation. They're all over the place, right? But that's a great one. Thanks, Bo. All right. That'll do it for me tonight, guys. I know I said there's voicemails. I didn't even get to the voicemails this week. That's how backed up we are. I mean, I will save them. They're in the bank. Okay, so if you're saying to yourself, I sent in voicemails. Yeah, I know. I know you did. Okay. They are there. They're in the bank, so to speak. Maybe I'll get to them next week's mailbag, even though the topics may not be super up to date because it'll be a week behind television, which means you may be asking things we already know the answer to, but we'll still air them out of respect if we can. But it's the way we're growing, guys. It's tough to cram everything on a show. We already did two mailbags. I answered two emails here, and maybe we'll do something with the voicemails as soon as we can. All right. So Thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, if you want to join us on the Patreon side of things, which are ad-free, go to ad-free or go to patreon.com/WWE podcast. You can get us ad-free on WWEpodcast.com if you go VIP, or you can go to Apple Podcasts and go ad-free there. Both Apple and Patreon offer 7-day free trials. So if you want to try us before you buy us, I bet you no one's come up with that. That sounds cool. No one's ever used that, right? Okay, well, I've coined it now. Try it before you buy it, check us out. You can do that for a week, and if you like it, stick with us. If not, cool. No harm, no foul. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with the current state of WWE with Anthony DeMarco, which, by the way, the After Dark after show is with you. Those who are on the NXT Plus and above get access to it over at patreon.com, so check it out there. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWEpodcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.